campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program. Right here on American Family Radio. Today's Wednesday, September the 25th, 2024. Joining me in studios, Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley, good morning. Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson's back in the saddle.
Yes, I am. Early Merry Christmas to you all.
Well,
early Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Three months from today.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. 25th.
Yeah, you get past August, you get into the Christmas season.
Yeah. July and some. I've seen it.
Well, I've joked before, and it wasn't a joke. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you remember me mentioning in August of that year going into Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were there recently.
They got their Christmas stuff
Christmas
out,
is exploding. Sam's Christmas is exploding.
Oh, Sam's is at it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's with all the Halloween stuff.
Yeah. Right next to each other.
Yep.
Well, in our economy, though, on one side of Christmas, you do have to start planning if anybody's going to get any gifts.
Yes.
With the inflation is like it is, because you have to budget. Well, that or just don't get anything.
Hey, listen, back in the day, son, when I was a kid.
That's right.
Tell you what my parents did.
Expectation.
I got like 2 gifts, maybe. Yeah. And we were poor.
$25
we were
max.
We were poor folk. My dad was a preacher, and they didn't pay him squat. And I'm gonna name the church. Yeah. And my parents gave us in our stockings.
Yeah.
And I'm not being critical, because they did the best they could.
Right. Like, I feel like they are.
No, and many people identify with this. But so we get our stockings down from the the fireplace mantle.
Yeah.
On Christmas morning, and I got an orange.
is all you got?
Well, I got an apple.
Oh God! No, I mean, this is
no. I got a gift under the tree from Santa Claus.
Right.
Okay. But I'm talking about Santa Claus. Wink, wink. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Okay. I need to get into that, do I?
Yeah. No, but you kind of got in. You need to get out, right?
Okay. All right. So anyway, apple, orange, and some Hershey's Kisses and some peppermints, peppermint sticker, which is nice. It's fun to open, but today kids get a Rolex watch.
Yes. Nintendo Switch.
No, so not ashes and switches.
Let me.
What did you get in your stock?
I'm gonna beat you all. Okay. All your stories will pale in comparison with my sad sack story that I'm about to tell you. Okay.
I want to hear this.
You're going to feel bad for me after I tell this story.
All right.
No.
Now, this is before we moved up here to this area. Uh-huh. I was in the ministry, and my kids were on the angel tree. That's how bad off. I'm not kidding.
The mall?
No.
They walk by. People walk by and pick off an angel.
The church had an angel tree.
Oh, the church.
And my kids were on it. We could not afford Christmas gifts.
It's just the way it is. Well,
I mean, that's how little I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there are some, televangelists and stuff who do very well in the ministry. But there are a lot of pastors out there who actually do sacrifice a lot.
Well, listen, I don't want to insinuate my childhood was spent in poverty.
Right.
Because it wasn't. My dad was a pastor, but he also was very industrious. He wrote he wrote books. He led tours. He did other things to
supplement
the
that was only 1 year for my kids.
Okay, all right.
Well, I don't have any of those stories, thanks
to my
parents.
Yeah, beat that, Wesley.
All right.
Toss this in.
One more thing.
For those of you who are doing pretty well this year, and we have 3 months left, find somebody you can help.
Yeah. Amen.
Start setting aside money for somebody that you can help, somebody you know that's going to be struggling this Christmas.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Well, a lot to talk about, we got Abraham Hamilton III on at the bottom of the hour.
Yes.
We've all heard the name George Soros, haven't we?
Yes.
You know, he's a famous chef, and he's on TV. No, he's a internationally recognized socialist, billionaire, far lefty, who funds a lot of terrible organizations. All right, we all know that, but we're gonna talk to Abraham Hamilton III because, well, we'll get a more sophisticated profile of George Soros from Abe than what I just gave. But also, it was reported that George Soros is buying a lot of radio stations in America. Is that right?
We understand. Yes, he's buying 200 radio stations.
Now, this in one fell swoop?
In one fell swoop, yes.
And there is a Democrat-appointed commissioner on the FCC, Federal Communications Commission. There are five commissioners, and there's always two appointed by each political party, and then whoever's in office, that's the political party in the White House, yes, that gets the 3-2.
Yes.
And there is one of the commissioners is, it seems like, we're going to talk to Abe, that maybe rules are being bent to allow Soros to come in and snap up these radio
stations. Buy them
stations.
Quickly.
Yes. And part of the issue is that only 25% of radio stations in America can be owned by someone from another country.
Yes.
So anyway, this is going to be an interesting conversation. And George Soros is with his Open Society Foundations, is a globalist.
Yes.
He intensely dislikes America, thinks we're standing in the way of globalist agendas. And my personal opinion is, I think he's doing everything he can to, let's put it in a nice way, change America.
Yeah. Well, he funds a lot of these progressive prosecutors.
Right.
The far left prosecutors that we have seen around the country.
Yeah.
He funds their campaigns.
The ones who don't prosecute.
Yes.
The criminals.
Yes.
We're obviously a radio network of 170 plus stations, and we've seen just working in meetings how long, even if you have the money,
right,
the process and how long it takes just to get one station up.
Right.
And so for him to be able to do 200.
Now, he's not building them from the ground.
That's right.
He's just buying them from somebody.
I do understand that, and that's a good clarification. There is a difference time-wise from building one from the ground up, but even just from purchasing one, the legal side of the aspect of it, for one, takes several months.
Yes.
So 200, if he's trying to get that done, mm-hmm, you would think under normal rules that would take a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially for someone who doesn't live in this country.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we'll talk to Abe Hamilton III about that. I guess the big news is the potential landfall for the hurricane coming up?
Yeah, it's not a hurricane yet, but they're expecting it'll be a 2 or 3. We're talking about soon-to-be Hurricane Helene, and right now, kind of just west of Cuba, Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, but it's moving up. The waters in the Gulf of Mexico right now are 85, 90 degrees. That is just going to supply the energy for this big storm. Right now, most of the weather forecasters are saying Helene is going to hit in that bend of Florida. So
the big bend's what they call it.
The big bend. It's got the panhandle, got the peninsula that goes down. And so it's going to come right in there. They expect it could be a Category 3. We're talking winds of 120 miles an hour. We're talking big surge of water. And this thing is very powerful, gaining power. They're talking about the impact you're talking about in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We're talking about an impact in Asheville, North Carolina, in Nashville, Tennessee. They're saying, for instance, in Asheville, North Carolina, 13 inches of rain there. So I think, what, 61 counties in Florida, state of emergency. Governor DeSantis has already declared a state of emergency in those areas. So even outside the cone, as they call it, people are going to get, you know, over as far as Destin, on over into perhaps into Alabama area, Mobile. You're going to get some rain there. Tampa's certainly going to feel this. Orlando's going to feel it. And as I say, Atlanta.
South Georgia, too.
South, yeah, all across there. So this is a bad one. There is nothing to stop this thing as it's moving north. We're talking about probably midday to later on tomorrow, the major impact coming ashore.
I'm always amazed. I'm looking at the National Weather Service, their prediction center. I'm always amazed at how far inland a hurricane's impact, how far inland the impact is of a hurricane.
Yep.
Now, obviously, it's not the same as the coastal regions when a hurricane hits, but I guess because there are no mountains and, you know, the land is not flat in the southeast, but there's not a whole lot to break up the course of a hurricane. And you're talking about all the way to North Carolina, even a little bit above.
Well, it's the rain. It's more or less the rain.
The rain, right.
Yeah, the flooding, the potential for flooding. You get 3 to 5 inches of rain. So, I was just looking at the path right now. The prediction is, and you say landfall tomorrow night?
Somewhere, yeah, afternoon tomorrow.
Okay. Anyway, now, right now the center of the projected cone, that is where it's likely to make landfall, is like east of Panama City Beach, east, you know, is that St. George Island? I think that's St. George Island. It's like, it might be like in the eye, you know, the eye there, if it stays on path. That's a place some people are familiar with and go to to vacation. It's not as popular as Panama City or Destin or that area, but in Florida, but it's still, a lot of folks go there to vacation. So anyway, you know, also I mentioned yesterday, there's a little town called Mexico City. It's not in Mexico. It's in Florida. It's like right to the, like 5 miles, 10 miles to the east of Panama City. And it's right on the beach. And they're the ones that got just wiped off the map. I mean, literally leveled by a Category 5 hurricane about 4 or 5 years ago. You remember this?
Yeah,
and it's just like this hurricane is like coming right for them again.
That same spot.
Did they rebuild after the?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's very, people love the Gulf Coast, and they love, people love building condos and hotels and resorts and things like that. So I'm sure they rebuilt that. Anyway, I just noticed this in this cone. So this. Ready for Jim Cantore time, huh?
He's Jim heading Cantore to the coast, time. Yeah.
All right, next story, Fred.
All right, well, a Senate panel made up Republicans and Democrats have been working and investigating the attempted assassination of former President Trump in Pennsylvania back several weeks ago, back in July. They released a report earlier this morning, which was kind of odd time, but earlier this morning they released their report. And I guess we should not be shocked. They found a large number of deficiencies in the way that security was handled, Secret Service in particular. I just want to read you a few of the bullet points coming out from this. The investigators...
Bullet points, really, Fred?
Yes.
Okay.
Investigators...
Poor choice of words.
Yes. Investigators found there was no clear chain of command among the Secret Service and other security agencies. Chain of command is something that is drilled into you, whether it's the military, police, or whatever the case may be. They respect the chain of command. These Democrats and Republicans saying basically it didn't exist in this operation. The report found the Secret Service was notified about an individual on the roof of the building approximately 2 minutes before that shooter opened fire. 2 minutes is a long time.
Long time.
Approximately 22 seconds before the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, fired, the report found a local officer sent a radio alert that there was an armed individual on the building. but that information was not relayed to key Secret Service personnel who were interviewed by Senate investigators. The panel also interviewed a Secret Service counter-sniper who reported seeing officers with their guns drawn running toward the building where the shooter was perched, but the person said they did not think to notify anyone to get Trump off the stage. And there's also the report they had a drone, but the person assigned to operate the drone did not know how to operate the drone. In fact, it is reported he was phoning tech support to get some help on how to operate that drone. There is not one good thing in this report applauding anybody there.
I go back and forth with, depending on the information I get, how much of this is a failure to do their incompetence. And then there's always that portion of me that's like, it almost seems conspiratorial that there's this many failures. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I still go back and look at the map, and the fact that I don't, under all these failures, the fact that that was not occupied just blows my mind. Talking about the clear line of sight within 130 yards and got a rifle up there. But,
well, come on now, Wesley. The slope of that roof.
Oof, tell me about it.
That was their excuse.
Original
excuse.
Well, along with other things as well. That wasn't the only one. But yeah, this is so. Let's just stick with the facts here for now. And that's just complete incompetence, to say the least.
I'll say
what
this.
What was the last bullet point there?
Well, I mentioned about the drone operator.
Okay, so the drone thing. That's where, see, up to that point, I'm going incompetent. But then when you get to this part, I'm going, come on now. Are you saying that you just didn't, I can't get it to work? or you know what I mean? Or is this really, you can't get it? I mean, is it incompetence or are you just not doing your job?
Or if this person who was chosen said, by the way, I haven't done this before.
Yeah, but you do it. You're the youngest guy. You do it. Listen, this is a bipartisan Senate report.
It is.
And here's the headline on CNN. So this is kind of surprising. New report details stunning Secret Service leadership failures around first Trump assassination attempt. So at least CNN is recognizing that no one's defending the Secret Service.
No.
That's right.
And that's at least a good thing.
Yeah.
I suppose it's to be expected that everyone understands. That's why this is a bipartisan report. Everyone understands that if this is actual Secret Service incompetence, that can bite either political party.
Yes.
Eventually. Mm-hmm. You want political leaders kept safe from wackadoodles, or in the case of what we're hearing about Iran, maybe actual assassins in our country. You want to protect political figures.
Well, yeah, apparently you bring up Iran. Trump has been informed that there's been actual plots run on his life by Iran. Tulsi Gabbard, who is now a Trump advisor, addressed that this morning. Cut number two.
It is deeply disturbing to see that, you know, Iran is supporting these assassination attempts, but they're not the only ones. We know that the drug cartels, that any of these entities that President Trump is a threat to their existence, they are trying to take him out.
Yeah, this, I'm trying to remember, at least in recent history, has there been one person like a Donald Trump who has been targeted so much? In such a short period of time.
Three times within, 2 months?
Yes.
So
I would say this, that the Biden administration, and I use that term lightly, broadly now, because I think we've all discussed, I don't think Joe Biden is at the top of the heap here running his own administration. But it would help matters if Joe Biden or even Kamala Harris or Anthony Blinken or somebody came out publicly and said, we have found out, we have information that Iran has plotted the assassination of Donald Trump, and we just want to let Iran know if anything comes of that, we will consider it an act of war and we'll respond accordingly. That should be something that the Biden administration makes clear to Iran.
I still want, before we go any further, I still want Dad's reaction to the guy that was responsible for the drone.
Oh, me.
Think about that.
That's, listen, if it wasn't so serious, it would be like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
But, you know.
You guys remember the Keystone Cops? It's kind of before. Wesley's time.
It's a saying that I'm familiar with. People say
Keystone Cops were during the silent era of movies. And I don't know whether it was Buster Crabbe or whoever it was, but they were cops who would chase a criminal, but they would always be stumbling over one another and just completely incompetent. And that's what, if the Secret Service isn't careful, that's the kind of image they're going to create for themselves.
So the report is that a trained Secret Service agent is calling somebody to find out how to use a drone in the midst of the situation on the ground
not in the middle of it necessarily. That was a responsibility from the start of the event to the end of the event.
Okay.
To fly a drone.
Yeah, to keep track of what's happening.
Well, from the Fox News report on this panel report that came out this morning, among the key features, an agent inexperienced with drone equipment called a toll-free tech support hotline for help after a request ahead of time for additional unmanned assets was denied.
Now, quick solution.
Yes.
You have two. And when one doesn't work, you use the other one.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We all
thinking
listen,
ahead.
At least calling
the seriousness of it.
Yeah.
At least calling a 1-800 number gets you through right away. Right. So then I'm just tongue in cheek here, folks.
For English, we press one.
Exactly. And you listen to the elevator. Your call is important to us.
For Iranian, test.
This is like not testing your firearm before you go. This is so important of a situation.
I know.
That there is no good answer for not having two drones. One doesn't work. You use the other one. And you test these things out before you get there.
Right.
You just can't get there and not have a drone.
It was a colossal failure on the part of the those in charge that day.
I thought we'd have a little more fun with that one,
Pennsylvania.
Though.
Yeah.
But they're also talking about what happened at the golf course just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The other attempt.
Now, y'all help me here, okay? On the golf course situation, the Secret Service, did they not do their job? I mean, they spotted this guy with a gun.
I go back and forth.
I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, I go back. Now, this is all our personal. I mean, none of us work security or anything, but just based on what we've read and our opinions, I go back and forth. I mean,
on that one, you mean?
Yeah, and because I do agree. I do agree that them being proactive and being a holes ahead did help protect him in that sense. However, there is a discussion to be had. How did a guy get that within that close? Too.
And he was there for like 12 hours.
Evidently nobody was they probably just quite frankly don't have the resources to surround a golf course. A golf course is huge. Okay, you're talking about if it's fenced in, you're talking about many acres of property. And I mean, I don't know, unless you have video surveillance, you know, I don't know how you do it any differently than what they did it. That is, walk ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't know if they're walking, but ahead of where President Trump is going, you know, is playing, as you said, Wesley, you know, he's advancing hole to hole to hole till he finishes his round of golf. And you have, I don't know what, 10, 12, 15 agents out just looking around to make sure. And somebody a hole ahead of where Trump was spotted the gun. And so, but that's, you know, that's an enormous task.
It's certainly not as bad of a, if you're of one that questions that's a partial failure, it's still nowhere near as bad as it was
in Pennsylvania. No, I agree with that. All right. But the fellow was the would-be assassin in Florida at the golf course was reportedly basically
camped out
in his spot for 12 hours, and nobody spotted him.
Right.
We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Abraham Hamilton III will join us. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, thank you for listening.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. This is a live radio program, ladies and gentlemen. Live radio.
It's live.
We don't tape it and then go back and edit it to make ourselves sound smart. We just are. Just naturally let it flow.
And it is live. What it was.
Or, yes. Or something like that.
Sorry, something like that.
Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred.
We're as smart as we sound.
We won't give you our last names. We don't want our identity stolen.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about it because there's a major security breach at a company every day.
Yep. That's right.
Releasing your information out all over the world.
Well, my wife and I were caught up in one. They had this
what
huge
happened?
Breach. This I forget the group. It was this group that does background checks for the police.
Yeah.
And we're in it. So we had to freeze our credit, the three credit bureau accounts. We had to freeze our credit reports. And if we, if you want to go buy a car or something like that.
You just want to go back to paper.
That's exactly the way I feel.
Well, I was checking my email. My email's been public for like 20 years.
Yeah.
25 years. So it is a complete dumpster fire. I don't even want to look at it anymore. I just scroll to see if there's something I'm expecting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't even get a purview or a look. If you can, a purview is not a look. A view is a look, but whatever. So there was one this morning from, quote, American Express. And American Express is telling me that, quote, American Express is telling me there's been a suspicious activity.
Yeah.
So the suspicious activity email.
Yeah.
Wants me to use my phone to scan a barcode.
Oh my goodness!
I'm in Mississippi. How dumb do you think I am?
Do you? If you don't mind my asking, do you even have American Express?
Well, thank you, Ed, for exposing me to other people.
No. Okay, I don't have.
I have credit cards. Okay, yeah, and I'm not going to give numbers or expiration dates or anything like
that. Does it end in a four?
Okay, I'm not going to deny or confirm.
Okay, all right.
No, what I'm saying to you is the scammers on email, for example, they pretend to be people to help you avoid scamming.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
What I was going to say is I'll get messages. I'm just using this as an example. Yeah. From American Express when I don't have an American Express card.
We have
couple of credit cards, but I don't have American Express. But they'll contact me and say, hey, you better check in. And I'm going, you said, how dumb do you think? And then they misspell words in the email.
It's just like, and then you think you're okay, and then 3 days later you get Social Security's breached.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Marriott's breached and
But we want to get rid of cash, don't we? We want
to
go
mad at everybody the rest of the day.
I think
you don't even know.
Oh no, I think more emails in the world are on the dark web than are on the regular web now. I think because of the breaches that have taken place.
Listen, I can't even stand Facebook anymore. I'm just going to be honest.
Okay, be honest.
I'm this close to just
clicking it off,
or just getting off because I get friend requests from people I'm friends with. And I'm going, well, somebody's got a hold of your account and is sending a friend request to me,
right?
You know, and we're already friends, pretty sure.
So it's just spam city out there, spam and scam city out there across the globe. All right. Well, we joined now by Abraham Hamilton III. Abe, do you have an American Express card?
Sure. Well, I did stay at a Holiday Inn recently.
A Holiday Inn Express.
Oh, okay.
Not an American
Nicely
Express.
Played.
Okay. How you doing this morning, Abe?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay. Doing good, brother. Listen, wanted to ask you, first of all, I know Fred's got a question about a story in the news today, but before we do, George Soros, can you give us a what in the world's going on there, Abe?
Hey, I have my headphones on, so I didn't hear it. Your microphone picked up something that I didn't hear.
Well, you got six little Hamiltons running around the house,
yes,
right? You're at home.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I just want people to know we're not responsible.
Right.
For what you may hear in the background at the Hamilton home. Okay, so give us a profile of George Soros, because his name's thrown around a lot by people like us and people conservatives. You know, he's he's the man behind the
Oz.
He's the man behind the curtain. Who is this fella?
Yeah, I mean, he's a billionaire who dedicates a particular percentage of his revenue annually, particularly for social activism, civic activism in a Antichrist globalist direction. He's the one who helped.
He's not American,
Occupy.
Right?
Hungarian? He's not American. Yeah, he's Hungarian, and he's Jewish.
He's a Jew from Hungary.
Yeah. Yes.
Didn't he? And I know you may not know the answer to this. Didn't he like make his money by a lot of his money by something about the currency in Great Britain or something like that? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think he basically bet against the British currency, I think, at the time. I'm just going, there's something rattling around back there, like you're saying.
Anyway,
and that's how he became
a billionaire.
Multi billionaire.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, how did he get it? How long has he been this bar lefty, is what I would call him?
Well, he's been this way for quite a long time. I mean, he's responsible for many of the major metropolitan areas having whacked out progressive district attorneys because he wanted to influence social policy, so he would unilaterally use his funds, and he realized that they had low voter turnout in many of those district attorney races, and so he helped people like Alvin Bragg in Manhattan and the district attorney in San Francisco area and others get elected. And he's been this way for quite some time.
And the reason it was so easy for that to happen, getting these far-left district attorneys elected, is because not much money is generally spent on advertising in those races.
Right.
So if you get $1 million from George Soros or $2 million from his Open Society Foundations to run ads, then your face and your name is what appears on local television spots.
But my question would be, if you can answer this, Abe, why does a Hungarian man who's a multi-billionaire, not a U.S. citizen, as far as I know, why does he care about American cities having district attorneys that let criminals out without violent criminals run the streets? Why does he care about that?
He does have dual citizenship.
He does? Okay.
Yes, Hungary and U.S.
Okay. Go ahead, Abe.
Well, frankly, he's a Marxist, and he's a globalist, and the utilization of chaos as a mechanism to have, and this may sound far out, but this is frankly what they do.
Okay.
One of his major organizations is called the Open Society Foundation, which is, he wants a borderless, nationless world. And so in order to accomplish that, Just as you heard Rahm Emanuel, the Alinsky maxim, you never let a crisis go to waste. Well, what better to do? How do you implement that even further? By creating the very crises that you don't want to allow to go to waste. And so he's using chaos, frankly, as a mechanism to accomplish his political objectives.
All right, what's the story in the news, Fred, that got our attention?
Well, the big story in the news is that George Soros wants to buy 200 radio stations. I assume it's a network.
In the U.S.
Yes, I assume it's a network already in existence that's owned by an entity, and he wants to buy this entity that has 200 radio stations. Now, that kind of came out back several weeks ago that he wanted to do this. The story that is developing the last couple of days is that he wants to speed up the process of getting FCC, Federal Communications Commission, approval to do this in order, you know, bend some rules so I can get this deal done right away. We have an audio clip here, Abe, before we get your take on this. This is from a Republican FCC commissioner. So, Ed, I think you pointed this out at the top of the program. There are five commissioners on the Federal Communications Commission. Right now, there are three Democrats and two Republicans. This is one of the Republicans. His name is Brandon Carr, saying that Soros is being given a shortcut to owning these 200 radio stations, cut number 11.
You've indicated there's a transaction where a Soros-backed group would take ownership of over 200 radio stations across 40 different markets. The FCC here is not following its normal process for reviewing a transaction. We have established over a number of years one way in which you can get approval from the FCC when you have in excess of 25% foreign ownership, which this transaction does. And it seems to me that the FCC is poised to create, for the first time, an entirely new shortcut. The full commission itself has never signed off on a shortcut like this. What we usually do is we require people to file a petition with us. We bring in national security agencies. They can review the foreign ownership. It's probably no big deal here, but we review that foreign ownership, and then we vote. Here, they're trying to do something that's never been done before at the commission level.
So there you have it. Yeah, he wants a shortcut to get these, get this deal done. I don't know if it'd be done so quickly, Abe, that he'd get his political messages out over this 200 radio station network.
Yeah, this this actually dates back to January of this year. There's the second largest radio company in America, a company called Odyssey, filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy back in January. When the bankruptcy was filed, the Soros Management Fund made a bid, a $414 million bid to acquire Odyssey's debt and pay off some of that debt. In the process, they would become the owner of all of Odyssey's radio holdings.
Wow.
Yeah. So what happened to this point, as with all transactions, all broadcast networks, that would be television and radio, they are subject to regulation by the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. What Soros is asking for is unprecedented in the FCC's history, and it's actually the waiver of two provisions. First of all, as you heard Commissioner Brendan Carr explain, that any application for ownership of an American broadcast network that has over 25% foreign investment is subject to review, is automatically subject to review because of that. That review can take as much as 6 months to a year. Then there's an additional component that requires, when you have the potential of that foreign ownership, that is a national security review aspect of it. Soros's group applied for and to field that $414 million acquisition of Odyssey's holdings, Soros specifically courted foreign investment. So it's not speculation. It's not an allegation that it's the ownership exceeds 25% foreign investment. It does. And Soros is saying, yeah, well, we want you, FCC, to change your policies for my acquisition so that I can hurry up and take ownership of this organization. And I want to be clear that the FCC has, according to what's being reported, has voted and has approved it, but for a temporary waiver to allow his group to acquire the licenses and then to revisit it later. The issue is that this has never been done before. So the question that many people are asking is why is the FCC so willing to try to bend the rules to fast track this acquisition and really to allow Soros to take ownership so quickly? Which, oh, and by the way, some of Odyssey Station includes conservative talk radio shows, talk radio programs that are included in the Odyssey network.
Hmm. Well, and Abe speaks from experience because he handles a lot of our business having to do with the Federal Communications Commission in terms of our radio network. So we have a lot of experience in this, but in this case, not just taking quote Abe's word for it, we played a quote from the sitting commissioner. As Ed said, there are five commissioners that oversee the FCC. FCC doesn't, it's not sexy. It doesn't get a lot of attention. There's usually no controversy. I mean, it's a pretty boring organization for the most part, and we like it that way.
Right.
But they do have power because they grant licenses, and you cannot broadcast on TV or radio in the U.S. without having a license from the FCC. And they've generally, over their history, been considered apolitical. I mean, they just, you know, yeah, you have two Democrats, two Republicans, and whoever the president's party is, as you said, Ed. But in this case, we have a situation where this gentleman, what's his name, the FCC commissioner, the Republican?
His name is Brendan Carr.
He's sounded the alarm. He's saying, listen, George Soros is getting special treatment. Then the question is left, why is he getting special treatment? And then you have to say, because the Democrats have a 3-2 control over the FCC, and they're using it for a power play on behalf of George Soros. Now, I'm making some links here, making some leaps, but I think it's pretty, everybody else is too in their mind. Right. You're saying, well, the reason he's getting a fast track that other people don't get, evidently, unless this is reversed or changed since the spotlight has been drawn on it, is because he's a big contributor to the Democratic Party. So he's paying. Am I the only one that sees that? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you can prove. Well, you can prove what I just said, but I don't know if you could, Rabe, if you could prove that's the reason he's getting this special treatment. But it seems so. Seems like he's getting the Hunter Biden treatment to me.
Yeah, it seems that way, especially when you contrast it with, there was an effort last year by conservative groups to do this exact same thing, and they were denied by the FCC.
Okay. So this may be a court case. Somebody goes to court. I don't know who the party would be that would have standing, but somebody if the Republican or conservatives tried to do the same thing and they were denied, and then Soros is allowed to fast track his ownership of 200 radio stations in America, maybe that group could sue the FCC and say, hey, you got a double standard here.
Yeah, they certainly should look into it. And it's important. You all were right. In describing the FCC with five commissioners, it's important for the public to know that the newly elected president has the authority to replace the chairman of the FCC commission. So you always have two and two. And then with the subsequent presidents, they break the tie.
How old is George Soros, by the way?
I don't know his age right off the top of my head.
He is 94.
94 years old.
94.
Do you say about a 94-year-old person they look good for their age? Are they look every bit of
94? I don't know when that photo was taken.
Or do you look every bit of 30 of 94? How do you say that to somebody? Either. I'm not sure.
I hope nobody says it to me because I'm 30 something.
This is one of those where you just don't say anything.
You don't say anything? Yeah. Okay.
You don't.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's go ahead.
One other note, just the political agenda of the Soros family.
Yeah.
He has a son that's about to take over the empire.
Okay.
And there's a picture, I think Fox is running it this morning, that the Kamala Harris's vice presidential helper, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, has held a meeting with him recently.
With Soros' son?
Soros' son. So, they're political bedfellows. I mean, we know that.
Yeah. I said this morning that I didn't know dragons could have children. George Soros. No, listen, I think George Soros is a bad actor.
Yes.
In terms of liberty. I've said stuff that I've read that he has said, including one of his books, that he does not like America because America is standing in the way and refuses to dive into the globalist pool. And I think he's trying to fundamentally change our country. That's why I say he's a bad actor.
Yeah.
And one other little tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
George Soros's son is about to or is already marrying one of Hillary Clinton's right-hand individuals, the woman who was married to Mr. Wiener.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Ula Abedin.
Uma. Yeah, Uma.
Yeah, Uma. Yeah.
You know she's right-handed.
You missed that one, Ed.
Yes.
But so there's the connection.
There's the dynasty being formed.
Right-hand woman.
Yes.
The right-hand, not the right-hand man. Come on, Fred.
Come on.
Get with the times.
Get with the times.
Let's abandon the patriarchy, will you?
Yeah. Okay, Abe, what are you going to talk about this afternoon on your show?
Well, I talked about this last night
yeah.
in detail about this whole Odyssey deal. And so I plan to talk a little bit more today about what the prospects are facing our country. What is the world? What is the view of the nation from a Trump presidency? What is the view of a nation from a Kamala Harris presidency?
Kamala or Kamala?
Kamala Chameleon. I mean,
that's
Kamala,
George.
I think, is the way she pronounces
it. He was confused,
it.
Too.
Yes.
And you made fun of mine. You made fun of my joke.
I did. Well, all right. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it. Take
all right,
care.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Abe evidently looked back at his kids and snapped his fingers.
Because they quieted down.
They quieted down pretty quick there.
I think
or either they went outside. He told them, shoo.
Either one.
Get outside, kids. I'm on the radio. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, next story, let's go to the Middle East, and we know what's happening.
All good times there, isn't it, Fred?
All good times. Israel, you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu said this several months ago, we live in a rough neighborhood, and we know what's been happening almost a year now since the October 7th massacre by Hamas. More than 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children massacred there in southern Israel. They've been taking the campaign to Hamas in Gaza, but in recent weeks, they are now taking on Hezbollah. Because remember, the Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon, on October the 8th, within 24 hours after Hamas had carried out that deed, Hezbollah started bombing in northern Israel, forcing thousands of Israelis who live in northern Israel to flee from their neighborhood. So Prime Minister Netanyahu has said, just in the last 10 days, we're picking up the campaign against Hezbollah because we can't allow this to continue. So in recent days, you know what happened just in the last week, the exploding pagers and walkie-talkies. And now they've picked up the bombing in southern Lebanon. And there was video yesterday that the Israeli intelligence, and it's so good, it's world-renowned, knows that Hezbollah is keeping missiles in people's houses. And so Israel has been targeting these people's houses. Well, Joel Rosenberg, a well-known Christian author, he was on with our own Jenna this morning, and he is very upset. Leon Panetta, remember that name from the past? Worked in Democrat administrations.
He was in the...
Clinton, was
Clinton.
Yes. Leon Panetta has referred to Israel blowing up those pagers as an act of terrorism. He's accusing Israel of terrorism. Joel Rosenberg had something to say about that this morning. Cut number 10.
For Leon Panetta to accuse Israel of terrorism by having this ingenious strategy to kill or wound thousands of Hezbollah terrorists all in one moment by putting small explosive devices in both walkie-talkies and pagers for almost the entire senior Hezbollah leadership and the mid-range terrorists, it's moral bankruptcy. I mean, it shows how much key Democrats have decided that Israel is the problem, that killing terrorists is not the objective anymore. And I just look at this and I say, this is a mistake.
By the way, Leon Panetta was also involved in the Obama administration, but he was chief of staff, I think, for Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't want to hog. I want to give Wesley a chance, but it seems to me that people like Leon Panetta, the way they are envisioning what's happening, is that Hamas and Hezbollah are actually like the military arms of Palestinians, and that this is a war between militaries, and you should not have. You should avoid
a conventional war.
Yes, it's a conventional war rather than fighting.
That's what
terrorists.
They're treating it as. Yes. The UN and these people who are critical of Israel.
Right.
They're treating it like when, you know, do they say when Hamas and Hezbollah kill innocent Israeli citizens and bomb their country and terrorize it? Do they come out and say, "Oh no, that was an act of terrorism"?
Yeah, well, this missile that was launched by Hezbollah towards Tel Aviv, if that had landed instead of being intercepted, it would have killed civilians.
Right. I can't help but think, I mean, a lot of these people, they may not say it out loud, but they are just basically anti-Israel and anti-Jew, and they want to see them eradicated too, but they're not going to say it like I just said it. They're not going to say it like Hamas and Hezbollah said it. But if you're critical of Israel and their tactics to take out Hamas and Hezbollah leadership and their apparatus that they use to attack Israel, and the ultimate goal being to kill all the Jews and drive them into the sea or drive them into the sea, whatever, how they phrase it, that's in the Hamas charter, right?
Right.
So that it's... When you're at war, you have to use every tool in your disposal. And Israel is smarter and has more technological advances than Hezbollah or Hamas.
Right.
Just by pure definition, a terrorist is a person who uses unlawful violence and intimidations, especially against civilians, not against their enemy. I know we all know this, but just by definition alone, that's not a terrorist when a person. When an army attacks another army, for lack of better words, that's called warfare.
Right. Leon Panetta thinks that because Hezbollah soldiers aren't wearing uniforms,
sure, I get
then you can't kill them.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And if one innocent person dies as a result, then Israel's to blame for that death. Silly. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.